dying of laughter.
It's not funny.
My mom has stage 4 cancer in her bones and in her breast. My dad's disease was 15 years, he died of ALS. I made a podcast about death, seemed like the thing to do. And if you're sad by all of this, well, you're gonna die too.
Okay, I thought I was done this year, but I felt inspired to curate some of the best episodes of 2020. Real talk, I saw some other podcasts do that, and I thought it was a really cool idea. So going off of that, here are a few of the most downloaded episodes of 2020. Starting off, we'll be hearing from Ben Whitehair. He opens up about losing his mom to breast cancer / mental illness. Ben is from Colorado. He plays FBI agent Banks opposite Matthew McConaughey in the film Gold. And he's also been in The Night Shift, Better Call Saul, Grimm, Manhattan, and the list goes on. He's a champion for social change through art and business and is the CIO of TSMA Consulting and co-founder of Working Actor. He also serves on the National Board of SAG-AFTRA. What doesn't Ben do? You will love this episode. Let's take a listen.
You journal every single day. Do you ever write to your mom or stepdad at this stage? Do you ever explore that in your journal, or does it feel like something that's in the past and you've moved forward?
Yeah. Not as much anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it was probably something that I did a lot, especially early on in my grief process.
Yeah.
So not as much anymore, but I remember I was in hot yoga and I was sitting there and the music played, and then all of a sudden this like memory of my mom, and I just started mm-hmm. crying. And I've had that experience where I'm like watching, again, it often comes up in art, where I'm watching someone or like a family experience, or maybe it's around death, right? Like Kobe Bryant passing away, like just that grief, it's a trigger. Like I remember the hospital and I remember being there with my mom and I remember the funeral, like when I have these emotional experiences. And I was actually thinking about that this past week with Kobe dying, and I was like, I'm feeling so much sadness. And I was journaling actually, because I remember thinking, and I still have this experience where there are parts of me that are more sad around Kobe's death than when my mom died. And part of that was Whoa. That I had experienced the emotional death of my mom years before she physically passed away.
Oh, that's so like interesting.
I had already spent years and years and years navigating like the emotional death of my mom, right? I didn't talk to her for 6 years, and she became a very different person, right? So a lot of the grief was like grieving who my mom used to be. And so I did that for many, many, many years. So it's not that I didn't experience sadness when she died, but it was different than like if one of my close friends died, or if my dad died, or even Kobe Bryant. You know, Kobe Bryant, I'm not even a huge basketball right. fan. But like the collective grief that has been happening and what he meant to so many people and what he represented, like just being in that emotion has brought up those other pieces. And that, again, like there's no right or wrong way. I'm like, yeah, there are parts of me that have had a more sort of different kind of sadness than when my mom died. And that's okay. Like that. And part of it is probably that's part of my grief that's in my body from my mom that's coming out when this is happening, and that's okay.
Absolutely. That was actually an episode last week I had read. One of my solo episodes was just this piece that a therapist had posted on her Instagram about why we grieve celebrities. And I just kind of reflected on that and read it out loud, and it's like what you're saying. There's very few things in our life that will reflect the same feelings in our body that we experience when we were grieving, and that is brought up. And then of course you're seeing other people posting and sharing and talking about their sadness, which is kind of a domino effect, and also the reminder of our own mortality on a either conscious or subconscious level.
Yeah.
So
100%. And I also navigated, there were very credible allegations of sexual assault from him, right? And that was something that was really alive for me too, was like, how is that woman experiencing this, right? And part of what I think is challenging when someone passes away, particularly if it was someone who was abusive or anything in that realm, often there are lots of other people who did not have that experience. And especially like familial abuse or otherwise, it's generally pretty hidden. That's probably how it perpetuates, right? But so, mm-hmm. you know, there are people, when my mom died, as a perfect example, you know, lots of people, oh my God, like, you must be so sad. That's so awful. She was so great. She was the best mom. And I'm sitting here going, nope, that was not right. my experience. Certainly not for many years. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. And that in a healthy way, I've been able to go, you know what? Other people are allowed their own experience, including my little sister, Felina, who had a very different experience of my mom growing up than we did. And like, that's okay. And she's allowed to have her experience. I'm allowed to have mine. And I don't need everybody. But there's a part of me, like my ego wants people to like hate my mom for certain things. Cause I'm like, she did this thing and it was awful and you all should be upset too. Mm-hmm. So like that part of my ego flares up and there's that part of me sometimes. And what I remind myself is like, I get to navigate my own relationship around this. I get to set boundaries. And for me, one of my boundaries was like, I'm not going to lie.
Right.
One of the painful things about my mom in her later years was there was so much pretending, like everything's okay. Let's pretend that nothing is wrong. I'm like, there's all kinds of shit that's wrong. How are we not talking about this? Like, this is not okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, it was really important that I was able to be honest. And that didn't mean that I had to electively overshare with someone and that I didn't have to rob them of their experience. You know, if they said, oh, your mom, she was so great, I miss her. I didn't need to interject and go, yeah, well, she was this horrible person and she did these awful things. But I was also able to remind myself, like, that doesn't invalidate my experience. Both can be true. And also that I'm allowed to be honest about my experience and also to share it from the standpoint of, like, it's just my experience. That person who had a great experience with my mom, that was their experience, and that is true also.
Mm-hmm.
But I can also share, yeah, you know what? Like, my experience was actually pretty different. And it's, you know, it's been pretty challenging to navigate that, right? I can choose how much or little I want to share in any given moment. But for me, it was really important that I don't feel like I'm ever lying about what my experience was. And part of what's helped me do that is to say, to put just even in the language, like that this was my experience. My experience of her was this. My experience of her was this. Someone else's might be different. That's okay. Those can both be true. But being true to what I went through and being willing to share that.
You're so mature. Sorry, this is such a random thing to say. But like, I mean, good for you. I mean, that's I don't know the right word. It's a generous thing to say. I mean, as the son of your mom, the fact that you're, you know, honoring other people's experiences, it's very worldly. It's very mature. I could see someone else not necessarily resonating that way. So,
well, and that's okay. You know, right. Part of it, I would say, is a journey. Like, it's still a practice, right? It still comes up sometimes. Or,
yeah.
You know, like, are my little sister be dealing with something? I'm like, oh, God, mom, you really shat the bed on that one, right? Or, you know, I have people, you know, dealing with horrible health insurance bills or something, and it reminds me of all this stuff we went through. And I'm like, ugh, that sucks. Like, that was so shitty.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have those moments. It's not that I don't. And I just think the more that I have practiced my navigating my own experience, and again, that verb of like forgiveness for my own life, not for my mom's dead. My personal belief about what happens when we die, like, I think there's a lot of cool things like, oh, wow, if that is what happens, that would be really cool. But I have no way of knowing. So for me, it's about who's living. And like, we honored my mom's wishes through her funeral. After that, I think it's about who's left. Like, we honored my mom. We gave her the funeral she wanted. We honored the request she had about that. But really, like, she's dead. She is not experiencing this. She's not in these relationships. She's not on my social media post, right? Maybe in some, you know,
as
afterlife
far as
kind
we
of way.
Know. Yeah.
But like,
right.
As far as we know, like,
right.
She's not here at the table. My
right.
romantic partner is, my brother is, my sister, the people in my life. And so how do we create a healthy experience that hopefully honors that, but if nothing else, creates a healthy navigation of that process for those who are still left.
Yeah, absolutely. Was there something in particular that you choose to share about your decision to no longer speak to your mom, or is there a piece of advice you'd have for someone who might be struggling with a similar decision?
You know,
what advice would you have for someone who might be unsure if they should continue their own relationship?
Well, it's, first of all, I honor and acknowledge that it's really challenging, right? To even be thinking about that. It's just hard. It means that there's a lot of really challenging, often crappy things happening. So being, you know, recognizing like, yeah, that sucks. I wish it were different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I often tell people, or when we learn that someone's dying, you know, there's often nothing you can say. For me, the phrase that's been helpful when I'm like, I don't know what to say is I wish it were different. I do. I wish it were different. Like, I'm also, though, aware that we can't necessarily change it. Certain health, like this person may be passing and it may be just a matter of time. And like, that's sad and shitty. And I wish it were different. And knowing that my personal belief is we don't owe anybody anything. And I think particularly with parents, particularly with a mother, I think there's so much societal pressure. It's like, well, but it's your mom. And I'm like, yeah. And she tried to kill my dad. Like, I get that it's my mom. But like,
oh my God.
There's a lot of societal, well, but it's your mom. Oh, but it's your parent. Well, it's your brother. And you might be like, yeah. And he raped me and this horrible thing happened. So listening to your own voice about what is a boundary for you at that moment and knowing that it can change. For me, it got to a point where I did not have the tools at the time. And my experience was that in order to be talking to my mom, I had to pretend like everything was okay. And anytime the real things that mattered came up, she would not have those conversations. And I got to a point where it was making me crazy. I was like, I cannot keep doing this because it's not healthy for me.
Yeah.
Because I'm having to live this pretend life and I'm not okay with that. That level of secrecy is what got our family into all these horrible situations. And I'm no longer willing to do that. And what that meant was I couldn't talk to my mom. And certainly not with the tools that I had. You know, fast forward 6 years, personal development, I'm more mature and I had more tools to be able to interact with her in a way where I didn't need to get anything back. Do I wish my mom would have been like, oh my God, you're so right. This thing I did was horrible and this was that and I love you and I should have helped with this that I said, whatever. Yeah, of course. There's that little boy in me, that part of me that wishes I would have had that. But I was able to at least get to a point where even though I experienced hurt or sadness or pain in those moments when I wasn't getting what I wanted, I was still able to share my truth with her. And that was really important to me. That may not be important to somebody else, but knowing that you're allowed to set boundaries and you get to be really courageous with honoring what is true for you, because there are often a lot of other people, well, you should do this, or well, you can't do that, or no, well, but it's this or that. And it's like, they don't know. And you get to honor your own truth in that and to practice courage. And ideally, to listen to yourself and say, am I choosing this from a place of empowerment, from a place of what will keep me safe, from a place of, no, I'm setting this boundary, as distinct from, oh my God, I'm doing it because I should, or I'm doing it because I'm afraid, or I'm doing it because, someone else told me this is what I should do. And sometimes those voices are hard to tell. And that's part of the practice, I think, of the work that we get to do.
Next, we'll be hearing from casting director Emily Cook on losing her mom to suicide. She's a native Angeleno who has worked in casting on feature films, scripted TV, and commercials for the last 10 years. And casting credits include Supergirl on the CW, Star Trek Discovery on CBS All Access, and The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina on Netflix. We were able to connect virtually this year, and I'm so grateful to have heard from Emily. And what it's like to lose your mom, also at the age of 11, is quite young, and it's very important to highlight the grief at different stages, since we all are going to have different experiences depending on how old we are. You have and will love this if you haven't heard it so far, and be sure to check out the full episode if you want to hear more.
That's powerful, and that's a good reminder. Did you find that sitting with your grief at the time was helpful? And since you were quite young, I'm curious what your experience of sitting with grief has been like for you over the years.
As a child, I really didn't get the opportunity to sit with my grief. Mm-hmm. Around my mother's passing, we had a bunch of family come in. Arrangements were made. I come from a Jewish background, so we put our people in the ground very quickly. I think she was buried. My mother passed away on Monday. She was buried by like Thursday, Friday. And I think on Saturday, because we had family in town, we all went to Disneyland, which I think is really screwy now. Like, that's not sitting with it. That's distraction. That's putting a gloss over it to make sure everything's okay. so I think part of my journey is understanding that I want to do things differently than the way I was raised. And that's really taken me a long time to understand that sitting with feelings instead of burying them is monumental. Progressing in the moment is far superior to figuring out why you're angry or sad, you know, a week later or a month later or 10 years later. When you shove it down, it festers and it turns into something much harder to handle, and occasionally something gangrenous, perhaps, could be a word used to describe it. Mm-hmm. I think it's important for someone who's dealing with suffering is just to listen. And you don't have to do the active listening of like, I hear you and let me say back to you what I'm hearing from you, because I think we're all taught that. I don't know if you went through that. I'm hearing some laughter on your behalf.
Yeah, I resonate because it's funny. It's like the people doing that, I'm like, well, I guess I'd prefer that than them just like blabbering on. But I also know what you mean. It becomes like, it's not funny, but it's funny, but it's awkward, but it's like they're trying. Yeah, all the things. Go on.
No, it is a concerted effort, and I appreciate the concerted effort. During quarantine, I reflected on one of my oldest friends, who I've known since I was at least like 5 years old, if not younger. And she attended my mother's funeral, and I wrote her this note, and we've talked about it since. But, you know, we were 11. She took me aside during my mother's funeral. She didn't know how to talk to me about anything. She wasn't trained. And she just kind of sat with me and she said, like, Emily, I know your mom's gone. I'll share my mom with you. And that warms my heart to this day. Like, you can share your mom with me and like in a certain capacity, like, but it was just it really felt like she was reaching out to me. I mean, we were both 11, didn't know what to do, but that felt like true care.
That's really wise of her and kind. And I really like that memory that you shared about that. Like, it is heartwarming, and it's interesting. At the time, you never know what the things are that someone will say that you'll remember the rest of your life. So I think that's cool to reflect back and be like, hey, that was one of them.
And yeah, I can't remember much else of what anyone else told me that day, but I remember that particularly.
What was it like in middle school and high school without your mom? And what was it like speaking with kids at school about it, if any memories come to mind about that?
School was tough. School was really tough. Because I was consulted by a therapist to not say that my mom had committed suicide, that it was something that was taboo. And so I was guided into saying, if someone ever asked about my mom, I was told by my therapist to say that my mother had been sick for a very long time, that would defend me against probing questions, and that it was enough to give people kind of this, like, you know what, don't dig there vibe. And it shut them down, and it made it so that I didn't have conversations with people about what had happened. And I think that is not helpful. It was maybe the predominant logic at the time, but I think by today's standards, it would be more beneficial to be truthful about it. I'm still on guard when I tell people about it. And it still feels like a very personal thing that I don't just outright tell people from the get-go. Doing a podcast about it is a little bit of a different matter.
True.
Yeah. But I always felt like this big secret that I would let people in on when they got to know me well. Besides that, I didn't talk about my mom. It's like, if you know my mom committed suicide, that means you're in my inner circle. And I don't think it has to be that way at all. There's no reason to keep it so secret. Not that I'm like parading around the streets by any means saying this happened to me, but I think there's other ways to develop intimacy besides saying like, this is the absolute worst thing that happened to me in my life. As for school, it was tough. I took a week away from school and returned exactly a week after my mother had passed. But I felt like they were searching for answers about what was going on with me and not truly coming at it from a compassionate point. So, yeah, that was not a great move on my teacher's part.
Yeah, that's hard.
Yeah, I didn't have any control over that. But, you know, I think people just didn't know. Didn't know what to do with that sort of information.
It's interesting you say that about the questions, because, I mean, that's something that in my grief counseling world that I volunteer in, you know, they say that's such a delicate balance because there's questions to be asked that paint more of a picture that is helpful and also helpful for the person you're asking to get it out, who have all these bottled up emotions. And it's actually, you know, healthy to talk about it, and we're normalizing death and grief. But then there are questions that, like you're saying, are not necessarily coming from a compassionate place, or they're just coming from a place of curiosity, which isn't bad, but it's not helpful. And straddling that line is interesting. And especially for, I mean, that age is a whole other story. And they're just like, that's the age you ask everyone everything about, like, oh, like, your legs are hairy, why? I mean, you just ask all these weird things, or at least some people do. So I'm sorry you had to answer to them.
I think it's one of those things that the longer you have been dealing with your grief, the more comfortable you perhaps become with the curious questions.
Mm-hmm.
And you, I think you just learn how to navigate them differently. I'm not offended by them anymore when people ask me curious questions, mm-hmm. simply because I've had so long to sit with my stuff, and I'm not as uncomfortable with it. But I think, one, it was being between and answering, and two, it was, you know, such new information for me. Mm-hmm. So I would understand if someone recently lost someone close to them and they were defensive about curious questions, even if they were like in their 50s to 90s, it's still just fresh.
Yeah. What I'm curious, what advice, I love how we're like, curious questions are not helpful. And then I just started my next question. I'm curious about, it's like, there we go. But I wonder.
I'm not taking offense. I've been dealing with it. So we're good.
You're like, I'm ready for this. This is what I said, Chelsea. I'm ready. And I wonder what advice you would have for someone who has recently lost a parent to suicide. Like, if anyone is listening, what's something that you would say to them?
Oh, I would tell someone who lost someone to suicide recently that whatever they're feeling, it's legitimate. Just legitimate. Like, no need to argue with them saying you can't feel this way or you shouldn't feel this way or be fortunate for the time that you have with them. No. Like, whatever you're going through, if you want to talk about the five stages of grief or you want to talk about anything else, you're weirdly feeling good on a certain day, like, that's fine. All of it is so fine. You don't have to figure out why you're feeling away, and it's okay to just let these things happen.
I love that.
We'll end things today with my hilarious and spiritual friend, Brooke Burkstahler, who is a comedic actress and host, and she's appeared on MTV, ABC, AMC, Oxygen, all the acronyms. And we talk about losing her brother when she was in high school. Fun fact, she's also one of my first friends who was so open about loss, and we had and have very powerful, spiritual, funny, weird conversations about deep shit, and you'll get a taste of that now.
As the world continues to wake up, it's got to be acknowledged that this is part of our life cycle, and there's so many beautiful cultures that revere death in a really way more interesting way than just like, oh God, it's scary and sticky, put it in a box in the ground. Like, let's not talk about it except on the day that the person died.
if even then. Yeah.
But I visited Japan with my mom, and there's temples everywhere. Like, people would just like walk to work and then just like scoop into a temple on the way. And in a lot of the temples, there's these really cute stone statues carved to look like small children with red bibs. And that's for children who've died.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's just like super normalized. It's just around. It's like part of the conversation and not part of the conversation by just being there. And my mom was, of course, obsessed with these statues. I was like, take a picture of me with them. And I'm like, this is kind of creepy, but okay.
It's like your mom's dream photo shoot gone wrong / gone totally right. She found her place in the photo shoot world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I went to Hawaii, and there are these people I'm really interested in. I hope to make a death documentary one day. That's been on my mind a lot lately. And
that would be amazing.
It'd be so cool. There's obviously so much ground to cover, but some of the more interesting people I've met were in Hawaii and Maui. I forget the guy's name, but it was called Journey into Light, I think. And he did death doula certifications.
So, what is that?
Yeah. So like you or I could be trained to be a death doula, to be there with someone or someone's family when they have someone who's passing.
Oh.
To make the experience easier for the family, to explain things to them, to sit with the person while they're dying, to really like hold space, as cliche as that is. But also, when the person has passed, having the experience of, what is it called, embalming the body?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
Washing the body and embalming it and choosing to cremate it or bury it, whatever it is. But like being there with the body of the person who's passed as yourself. You know, like we like handed my brother's body off to someone and they were like burn it, would you? Like, we didn't go through that process. And in some cultures, they do. I think having that connection till the end is like critical, I guess. I don't have a word for that, but really beautiful to me. That's really beautiful.
I really hear that, and it's fascinating that other cultures' perspective on death is very different than the American culture. And like you're saying, talking about it is very uncomfortable for many people and very just taboo. So I'm glad we're doing it now.
Yay!
We're slowly chipping away. And I will never forget this. You were my first friend who had lost someone, because when we met, my dad had died a few years ago. I want to say 2 or 3 years ago. And it was something it was still raw, I was still going with. And I didn't have any super close friends who had experienced something similar to me recently. There was a couple people I know that it had been a long time ago. And there was one friend, but it's not something that's ever talked about. And you were the first friend, I should say, who was open. And you were like, hey, I'm Brooke. Oh my gosh, we bonded over XYZ. My brother died. I'm sorry your dad died. This sucks. This is crazy. Me too. All of that. And it was like funny and upbeat, and you laughed about it and you were open. And I will just never forget carpooling with you to the Valley from Hollywood to our comedy classes. And then you would just like slip in a little death moment of like, well, I was doing this spiritual thing the other day because I was thinking about it all and death and life and crazy. And it really, really helped me in my own journey. I will truly never forget it.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I feel like I've always been able to talk to you about very weird shit. And it's
fair.
And it actually is more rare than one would suspect, even despite like all the woo-woo new age bullshit in LA that I'm like very much a part of. Even yeah. I recognize like but y'all don't want to go to like the real shit. Y'all want to go to yoga, but y'all don't want to go to the real stuff. But I think, I mean, you are so special, Chelsea, and Lloyd would be so proud. And I did think on the way over here, I was like, all right, Lloyd, Taylor, like, we're going to be doing this podcast. Come be there with us. And yeah, I don't really know where I'm going with this, but thank you for always being a safe space for me to talk about this. And I think that this is a huge particle of the work that you are supposed to do here on Earth, because you do it with such ease and grace, but also with like passion and just a really strong energy that I think will attract people and allow them to really like learn and soften from you. So
thanks, Brooke. That was such a nice thing to say. You're so well spoken.
I was closing my eyes.
I know it was very. If you guys, that was very powerful and deep. I was like, what's happening? I love this so much. You know, you're amazing. What was it? Wait, there was one more thing I was gonna say. And what? Oh my gosh, this cracks me up so much because I go by Chelsea Lennon Lloyd. Lloyd was my dad's name, uh-huh. and I changed it. And I remember. You, for a long time, / still do, used to call me, and still call me, Lloyd. And I remember I felt really awkward because one day I was like, maybe I should just tell her. This was a long time ago. I was like, maybe I should just tell her, like, oh, that's my dad's name. I don't want to make her uncomfortable. I was like, just so you know, my dad's name was actually Lloyd. And you're like, oh, great. I love that, Lloyd. You know, still calling me Lloyd. You're like, yes, Lloyd. I love it. You and your daddy, Lloyd. Realness. Chelsea, Lloyd. Hey, Lloyd. And you still call me Lloyd. And it was just, I was like, okay, great. I thought it might be awkward. It wasn't awkward
Wait,
at all.
Sorry if I was insensitive. You're like, no. How do I get her to stop? No, no, and I'm like, I'm going to go harder.
No. I love it so much. I always look forward to you calling me Lloyd. You call me Lloyd, and then I look back. I'm like, oh, is a 65-year-old paralyzed man behind me? Oh, no, it's just me.
It's just me. Chelsea Lennon Lloyd is such a good name, though. I mean, and to have that vibration of the name of your dad attached to you, I feel like it's just... like you've enforced the angelic presence. You're like, Dad, actually, I'm gonna need you with me through all of it. So. But I did do something.
Thanks, babe.
I have a new theory, like that goes along with saying your dad's name and saying Taylor's name.
Okay.
That when someone tells me they've had someone who's passed in their life, I ask them what's that person's name. Like, my grandpa just passed away. Someone told me their grandpa passed away. Someone just told me their mom passed away, and I was like, what was her name? Mm-hmm. And that always makes people, like, pause, and then they get to say the person's name, and I say the name, and I don't think about it for too long, but I, like, introduce my brother to the person who's passed, and I'm like, Taylor, like, if you need a friend, like, if you can help, I'm sure they have their own guides and their own ancestors and own, like, spirits, so they're going to help them through this, but, like, maybe you guys can meet up there, and, like, I try to do my part in the energetic realm and also just like really acknowledge the vibration of the name of someone who's passed.
Can we do it right now?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Wait, I just got really excited. Okay, what do we do? How does it work?
Oh no, that's it. Okay. No, that's all it is. What's your dad's first and last name?
Lloyd Simrott.
Lloyd Simrott. Mm-hmm. Okay, Lloyd Simrott, Taylor Bergstaller. Aloha, you guys. Hello, Lloyd Simrott, meet Taylor Bergstaller. Taylor Bergstaller, meet Lloyd. You guys might be busy right now, like hopping dimensions and like, you know, solving shit behind the scenes. Really no idea what your experience is like. But if you should at some moment in space and time as you know it, be able to meet up, link up, create, you know, an energetic bond. May our soul families grow in towards one another, and yeah, may you be both of our angels. Thank you.
That was really cool. Like, what if my dad and your brother know each other? We're getting real woo-woo now. It's okay.
Maybe they do.
Now I say I'm not woo-woo, but I'm a little bit, so I'm woo. So we can have a woo moment.
That's like, so cute. That's really good.
Maybe they, wait, did Taylor, well, this is so cliche. I shouldn't ask if he played sports just because he's a guy. But,
oh, no, totally okay, played sports.
Or his sports.
Was
choice.
Into music. Like okay. maybe they'll jam. Maybe they'll play some basketball. He played basketball.
Okay, my dad played college basketball.
Wow.
So, wow.
Boys, grab a ball. Get in the court. They're like, we're fucking busy. Sometimes I think that too. Like, you know, I think I have a weirder or like more deep spiritual experience when I'm by myself. That's really like, it is very personal for me. But sharing it is still really cool. But sometimes I talk to Taylor or I talk to my guides and I have like a long list of dead people in my life. Like some people that I don't even know that well. So like I just invite them into my list of prayers. And sometimes I worry, like a kid from my high school just passed away. And I included him in my, like, Taylor, Grandma, Grandpa, Grandpa, Grandma, Peter Wade, Ashley, Brandon, Dino, Devon, Mr. Comedian, Senior, Jill, Rose. All my ancestors, spirit guides, higher self, inner self, will you please be with me today? Will you guide me through my life experience? Will you show me the way? And then I, like, added in this kid, Dylan Jones, to the end. And hi, Dylan. And I was like, I don't know. Like, I didn't know him that well in high school. And, like, maybe, like, can I include him in my prayer? Like, what if I'm annoying his spirit somewhere? Like they get a little ding whenever someone says their name on earth, and he's like, fucking, like, I didn't even know this Brooke chick, why does she keep praying to me? Or not praying to them, but like honoring their spirit. And yeah, basically calling in guidance, like from where, like wherever the fuck I can get help on this side or the other, I'm asking for it. Like, please help me.
Life's hard enough. We gotta go to other dimensions sometimes.
Yeah.
That's really cool that you do that.
Thank you for being here. Thanks for listening. Looking forward to sharing in 2021. And if you like this episode, if you're open to leaving a review on Apple Podcasts, that is super helpful and appreciated and helps other people discover the show. Have a good rest of your year, and I'll talk to you soon.